Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Packers take care of business on Sunday Night Football. Love. 360 in the air, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Rodgers, slow, quick passes, garbage time yards. Didn't look good. Praise Jordan Love after the game. Honestly, the best moment was when he was yelling after DK Metcalf got the ball hit out of his hands by Carrington Valentine. For all you lip readers out there, I'm sure you saw that video surface. But on Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers defense played really good. 21-7, rainy game out in Oregon, playing a top 10 team in the country. I think top five.
Sixth overall.
Yeah. But that wasn't the story for me. The story is when Tim Brando, a play-by-play announcer for Fox Sports, reference podcasters. I didn't know we were only podcast. You can always get us on podcasts on ESPN Wisconsin app. But right now you're listening live on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison, on the ESPN Wisconsin app, on your smart speakers, on your radios, wherever you're listening. This is live. I just want to remind everyone this is live, because this is what Tim Brando had to say. Or if you want Brad first or Brando first, what do you think's best?
Brad first.
Let's go to Bradley Nortman first before the game on Saturday last week on Kyle Brusten Nortman.
Everything I'm hearing from inside the building is that he has zero, not only has he hasn't done it, there's no engagement with the alumni, the former players, or Wisconsin high school coaches. There's no interest in doing it. Every high school football coach I talk to, there is no relationship with Coach Fickell or any of the coaching staff. There is zero intention to try to keep Wisconsin kids in the program. There's no.
That was Brad Nortman last week. And look, I'm going to take Brad's word for it. I can tell you that much. But maybe Tim Brando isn't. Let's hear from Tim Brando during the broadcast on FS1 in the night game, Wisconsin-Oregon.
At all. The noise is out there. I mean, they've been banging on the doors at Camp Randall. A lot of no-shows for home games, and he's aware of it. I mean, it's something that he has mentioned more than just a couple of times this week. And with all these podcasters out there now that want to say, well, all the relationships with high school coaches just isn't there anymore, how much do they really, really know? Probably not much.
Powerful.
Wow.
Powerful. Hey,
wow.
You don't know anything, sir.
How about that?
Really know, Bradley. What you really
what you know? Brad?
It's good to be living in their heads, boys. That's all I got to say. Listen, first of all, I was going to start with it, but Ben, you took the words out of my mouth. Podcasters, that's the most offensive part about this. Podcasters, we're live on YouTube, 94.5, 100.5, and 1430. What's that?
You think Luke Fickell said, yeah, some podcasters out there.
You're probably trying to like, you know,
lower
the respect for us. But here's what I will say. So, do people just think I'm making this up? I mean, for real, do people just think I'm making this up? Brando, Tim Brando, have you spoken to anybody? I mean, I'm sure you have done your due diligence of talking to high school coaches and spanning the state of Wisconsin
to
know
that broadcast. I don't think you prepared for that game.
When you are a national platform, you probably know that you are educated on that, right? Because what he said was basically irresponsible and ignorant. But here's what I will say: he probably got it, because I know how these work, right? He probably got it as a note in the production meeting, and he probably used that. And the thing is, he probably spoke about it with Coach Fickell in production meetings, which leads me to believe these two conclusions. Conclusion number one, you don't acknowledge something that you know isn't true. If this was false, if this was no big deal, there's so many rumors and stuff flying around, you can't possibly address them all. But if you know it's true, you got to address it. So the fact that it was addressed validates me in saying that there is truth to it. Now, number two is, this is what we're talking about in production meetings? We're talking about podcasters? And
also, it's a talking point on the game?
And a talking point in the game? I mean, that is ridiculous. If this is what this coaching staff and production meetings are focused on, is what the media, the sports media, is saying, then I know that their minds are not in the right place.
That they're
already looking for excuses and reasons, and they're hearing too much of the noise. Noise that I will say is true. And I will say this: after I said that last week, I've had countless coaches, former people in the athletic department, players, and former even parents of former players reach out to me and say, "This is accurate. You know, you said it all," type of thing. So I was validated in my points by it. I have no joy in saying this about the program. No joy at all. And if he comes back next year, hopefully it's a wake up call to be able to establish those relationships.
But the Brando fact or that, Fickell? Because well, Brando's gonna he's spanning the state. If he did more than Fickell's been doing.
I'm sure Brando's talking with the high school coaches and the people that he needs to be able to say that on air. But for real, I mean, it's something where it's being talked about in production meetings. You're addressing it because you know there's truth to it. People that I've talked to since then have validated it. So, listen, I hope that it's a wake-up call for everyone in the athletic department and the coaching staff if everyone's back next year. But the reality is it's happening. And I can't believe it was brought up in a production meeting and Brando just whiffing out there talking about it on national TV. I got to say, I sat back with my feet up and I was like, Mama, I made it. They're talking about me on as a media guy, podcaster on Fox Sports 1.
Podcasters saying that there's no relationships with Fickell and the coaches around the state.
I didn't hear a denial, by the way.
What do those guys even know? What was? Can you play that last part?
What do they really,
it's
really
so good.
What do they really know?
Out there now, they want to say, well, all the relationships with high school coaches just isn't there anymore. How much do they really, really know? Probably not much.
I didn't hear a denial in that at all.
He said this pretty early in the game where I wasn't already down in the dumps on him because he sucked on set.
He made several mistakes.
He made a lot of mistakes. As it went on, he lost all validity and legitimacy of what he's doing.
Over to the KBN Sports Desk at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios, it's Alex Strofe.
Tim Brando yesterday on Twitter. Podcasters have the right to criticize. I mentioned it because some, not all, know nothing. They're nothing more than fans with a mic. If that makes me old school, a badge I'll wear.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, he's owning it a little bit
that's
then.
That's disrespectful to that podcast.
But again, the fact that he's going to Twitter after he says it is re-acknowledging the fact that it was brought up on the air, and it's factually like he felt heat from it.
So yeah,
he
exactly.
felt heat from it. He's like, oh, no, I got to go PR 101 and be like, well, hang on.
Got to go.
Not all. Not all don't know everything.
You know what's sad about all of this is that this is how bad the Badgers program is. It's the product on the field is so trash. The team sucks. It sucks. And last week we're talking about a letter that got released on Monday. And now this week we're talking about him taking shots at podcasters. That's how bad
this is.
This is how bad the football team is. That we don't even talk about the product on the field because the product is that bad. We're talking about statements from athletic directors and now a statement about how bad the pro or what people really know from a damn play-by-play announcer. Come on, how many times you think he addressed that? He didn't address the fact that he sucked and got stuff wrong. No. He addressed his comment about podcasters and his comment about high school football coaches, which he was actually inaccurate on because a lot of these people know a lot. It doesn't take much to be able to figure out whether or not a guy is out there beating the pavement and recruiting and trying to get guys in state to stay in state, making relationship with coaches. At the end of the day, we all know Fickell's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Former players have told you. They'll show you. Brad, you're a former player, but even the guys that played for Fickell, ask them. Ask how they feel.
They want to say how they feel, but they are currently doing better and bigger things in the NFL that they're not getting involved in the mess that the Wisconsin Badgers are in right now.
Braylon
and Stevie
Allen
chimes in, which is funny real quick. I love how he hedges, too. Some, not all. Johnny Hedge on the spot here, Tim Brando.
But the fact that Braylon Allen put the eyes underneath your post that you had last week.
Yeah, Ben, he did. I believe Melvin Gordon as well.
Braylon Allen liking some tweets.
Braylon played for Fick.
Yeah.
And so a guy who played for Fick, literally, during his time there is feeling that way. That is telling.
Instead of Lundy, Gottlieb, Guard, and Shaka, could we get a one-on-one with Braylon for you? I bet you missed the show for that.
He's probably got some time in his hands. He's on IR, right?
Yeah. So again, you said the product on the field. The only thing I mentioned because I was irate.
Saturday.
I know Hunter Simmons stinks. One for 12 yards, whichever one it was.
Worst
either way, it's not great. But guess what they did at the end of the half? Because, you know, it was a close game, Kyle.
Yeah, he took a knee.
Four straight runs.
Oh, I took a knee.
Four straight runs with timeouts, playing the game as if, all right, if we protect the football, they get the ball the half. We're going to trust our defense, and we're going to play this game like we are going to win it. Bro, you guys suck. Take some chances. Like I don't care anymore. If he throws a pick 30 yards down the field, so be it. You're not going to win the football game.
I wasn't mad at it because at that time it was 7-0 at half.
That's great. You're playing the sixth best team in the country to act like they're going to have a half like that in the second half. Is just laughable.
They only scored 14.
Well, guess what they did right out of the half?
They scored.
They scored.
But I'm not mad at it. I was actually like, okay, we're close. Like, this is where we're at.
Close doesn't matter.
Hey, anything can happen. We knew that entire game they weren't going to win.
That's my point.
You want to just keep it somewhat close at some point to keep your team alive.
He's keeping it close so it doesn't look as bad alive. So he can keep his job alive.
Yes,
the optics.
I don't care about the optics. Like I said, the iceberg has been hit to me. Yeah. So I'm under the impression when I look at this game, you're done. So just go for it. Like the amount of times in the first 2 years where we had seen Crisp, Bielema, all of them, third and one, fourth and one, sometimes even on their own 40, trust the offensive line and run the football and convert on those on their own side of the field.
Now,
but I'm saying in his first 2 years, it was like, all right, fourth and two on the 40 on the other side of the field. Let's punt.
Big.
Like it's been this whole mantra, and I'm just saying I'm sick of his way of playing soft football for the past 3 years. That you suck. The iceberg's been hit. Do something and don't just take the beating. They're taking the beating and keeping it close for the optics. And I'm annoyed. I can be annoyed. Suck. You can't tell me how to fan right now. Do not tell me how to fan.
I'm just, you know, I don't want you to get ill from this.
I'm gonna get ill. I'm already ill. I'm ill every Saturday. Every Saturday I'm ill.
Ben, the fact that we're looking at this and we were down 7-0. Imagine this.
Defense played very well.
If the Wisconsin Badgers lost 21-7 as they have to like Ohio State years ago, we'd be like, and it ended up being like, you know, getting scored on late. I mean, I know how this happened every time, 21-0. But we'd be like, okay. But at this point, we're just like,
so we're celebrating
nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. You literally just got shut out and lost both games to Ohio State and Iowa, routed. Routed. You know you can't score points. Try and score points because you'll lose anyway.
Bro. Listen, watching Hunter Simmons, you know.
And he shouldn't even be out there. That's a whole other conversation. What is his ass doing out there?
He was supposed to be like number three or four.
Apparently, Danny O'Neill and Billy Edwards are like kind of available. And the quote about Danny O'Neill, like we're going to need him later in the season. Like, what are we doing?
I was very confused about this because I assumed he got benched because he played last week. So I was very, he got in. So I'm very, very confused about what's going on with Danny O'Neill. And why he's
Hunter
not
Simmons
starting.
Gives us the best chance to win.
Hunter Simmons is by far the worst quarterback I've seen as a Badger for the last 30 years. I can't. Yeah, my life for sure. He is bad.
But it is a victory Monday from Sunday. Brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Delicious brands like Palermo's County's Urban Pie and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. At one point, we were all texting because it looked like the Badgers were not going to score, which means we would be fasting right now until 5 o'clock. And Strofe would have been really grumpy, and Mr. Relevant would have been bad. Bart Lundy would have been like, who is this evil youngin who is he, somebody, he'd offer him food and Strofe would be like, I can't eat. Bart, I can't eat food.
The Badgers stink and I can't eat.
So tell me about your team. We'll talk about our punishments because the Badgers scored points. We all have to do some things.
Oh, yay.
Kyle's got to do the worst punishment, which makes this great. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Is one of the things that your girlfriend gets upset with is you interrupting her like this?
Probably.
I just complimented you. What the hell?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Badgers scored 7 points. They scored a touchdown.
Yeah. It took a heave. He just was like, it was blind, just throw it up there.
He said, shout out T.Y. Hilton's son.
Yeah, thank you, because your boy, I was going to be, I couldn't have made it today.
Because the way it was going to work today is if the Badgers did not score a point, we were going to be fasting until 5 o'clock from wake up this morning. That did not happen. They scored 7 points. So that is out the window. The Badgers did not win, so we can still bash Jesse Nelson, because if the Badgers won, we said for eternity we would not be able to bash him. So that is good news. The worst news of it all is we have to air 7 minutes of Doug Gottlieb and Alex Stroh from Coaches Week on Kyle Bruston-Ortman. Did you guys forget about that?
Well, I kind of did. That's going to be punishment for everyone.
So, Stroh, what you're going to have to do is we're going to do 7 minutes of one-minute best-of clips.
Yeah.
So we can play them throughout, because ain't nobody
want to
listen to
seven straight
minutes.
You sure you don't
want
to do 7 straight minutes? I thought that'd be good.
Positive. Everyone seven. Say aye.
Okay,
we're on board with 1 minute chunks, best of with Gottlieb. Tomorrow, when we're all together, we will watch Alex Stroh do a 70-second plank. Will Alex Stroh be able to make it 70 seconds of his scrawny body and arms staying upright, working
I'll
that core
fine.
That does not exist?
Stroh, when's the last time you've done a plank?
It's a great question, Brad. Brad, when's the last time you did a plank?
Yesterday. I did one last week. It's part of my workouts.
Okay. That's why I'm glad Brad did not get the plank. We drew randomly for this.
It really did come out perfectly.
Yeah, so I have a calendar invite to myself to pick out 7 extra layers to wear on top of normal clothing tomorrow for the 7 points. I have to wear 7 extra layers.
Can underwear count for you?
It could, but I'm gonna wear shorts and pants and then 6 layers on top.
Oh, we're doing this. Oh, you're doing it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, nice. I want to get this over with.
You're gonna be so uncomfortable. I hope you have a very busy day on the sales side at work, so you're a little antsy.
Wearing a parka.
Yeah, a little hot, because you know Ben King had these hot flashes like he a 50-year-old woman, because you see, you know, he'd start taking off his shirt and be like, oh my gosh, it's hot in here. Like,
I do.
Yeah,
that.
I've already requested our studio heat be turned up because I'm a little cold back here today.
Yeah, heat them up.
No, let's not do that.
No, we should.
Now, the funny thing is, as the Badgers stink and they need money to do anything, to get players, to potentially have a buyout for the coach that nobody wants except Chris McIntosh, Brad has to donate $7 to the NIL fund.
Not the podcaster.
The podcaster.
The podcaster has to donate his hard-earned cash to the NIL fund. Now, I went on the website, and it literally, when you click donate, website not found.
Dude,
no wonder why they don't have any more money.
No, I did the same thing before, as I was doing my show prep before driving in today. I should look at how you do this. So I typed in Wisconsin football NIL. First link, support the Badgers. Click it, donate here.
I went
it goes
three different
site
ways.
Not found.
Dude, three different ways.
This page is so old.
What are we doing? We can't even give money to them if we wanted to.
All right, now go down.
Wait a minute. But my cousin's still on this damn page.
And he's not getting royalties.
No, he played for Michigan State the last year.
All right.
You
want to click that donate button?
Donate to the varsitycollective.com.
And it's now rebranded as Badger Connect. Page not found. You can't even donate to the school that needs money.
Should I write a check and send it to the athletic department?
You gotta be kidding.
I mean, what are we gonna do?
To Chris McIntosh.
Please.
Oh my God, you have to
helps.
Mail the check to Chris McIntosh.
Don't do that.
$7 for
I'll,
7 points.
I'll get forever scored. Blacklisted.
Yeah, no.
No, you're. What are you talking about? You're donating.
Yeah. We'll find a way. We'll find a way to get it to them.
And lastly, the one that's going to be somebody's going to cheat his way through this. I know Kyle. 3.5 miles have to be ran by Kyle by Saturday.
What do you mean? Well, I was running through the airport yesterday.
So like
no,
that,
on the hop.
You.
I was sprinting. Mama Wallace. I had to leave Mama Wallace yesterday.
You left your
Wallace.
Mama behind at the airport?
Listen. Mama Wallace ain't got TSA pre-check, okay? And I told her years ago, I said, Mama, the credit card we got allows for you to get TSA pre-check. Get TSA pre-check. She said, I said, okay. So we got to the airport yesterday, and we cutting it close. And so I said, listen, Mom, I'm going to do this because I'm going to run ahead to the desk and say, hey, my elderly mother is still coming. So
elderly.
She is
elderly.
A wonderful elderly woman.
Elderly?
Damn, yeah. Peter, how you know her
wow.
age?
Now, she's a spring chicken.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait.
How do you know her age?
Okay, I'll have you know Mama Wallace ran her ass yesterday to get there, and she got there on time.
A real son would have helped.
Huffing and puffing. Well, what happened?
He left her in the dust.
So this is why it should count, because I'm sitting there.
No.
I'm running from because you get off. If you ever go to the Denver airport, you get off the little train, and then you got to get off, and you got to. I had to sprint to my destination, my gate. So I'm sitting there running fast because I know I ain't got a lot of time. So I get to her, say, "Hey. My mom, she's elderly. She's still stuck in the line. She should be done now. Does she need a wheelchair?" I said, maybe. But I'm gonna go run and try to get her. Just don't leave without us, y'all. Just hold the gate. Hold the gate.
Did they hold it?
She said, "I'll try my best."
Oh, to know.
So I sprint back looking for Mama Wallace. I'm going to where the train
Mama!
Is.
Mama!
And so next thing you know, I'm calling her. She said, "Oh, I just got to the gate." She ended up walking, because I guess you can walk too. She ended up walking. So I say all that because y'all know how big Denver Airport is. I did at least a half mile yesterday.
But what you should have done is got her one of the carts with a beep, beep.
Yeah,
you
know,
you could have been like, "Hey, I need for the elderly.
The golf cart."
So she said she didn't want to wait for anything because we were getting that late. I got 8.89 miles yesterday, and at least a half mile had to be running. I was sprinting through Chicago, sprinting through Denver.
But here's the thing, Kyle. You need to track, like, this is something like, all right, this is for the punishment. Like
for punishment.
No, but you need to like document when you are running for the punishment.
Okay, y'all trying to steal. Y'all
and here,
trying to
here's
steal
what's
going to
happen. Here's what's ultimately going to happen.
Printed yesterday.
No, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. You have until Saturday, but if you have nothing done on Friday, you're doing the show from a treadmill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is revenge for you not wanting to do the 5K.
Yeah, for not racing Strofe and backing out because you're a chicken.
I am at this point now.
You're doing more than a 5K.
I was.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, real talk, honesty, as I was trying to run to the gate, you know when you run into a gate, and this was actually
I don't typically run to gates.
Okay, well, this is at O'Hare because we had to get to the gate that time. I had to leave her that time too because we had to get to the gate.
Jeez,
listen. My job is to talk to the people at the gate. Say my wonderful mother is coming. At O'Hare, it was so long that I had. You know when you running. And you don't say, okay, here's gate 14, 16, 18. I went about 40 gates, and I said, I'm done. I'm lying. I went about 20 gates, and I said, ooh, I got to walk. I'm tired. So I'm telling you, I sprinted yesterday. I'm just out of shape.
All right, well, you got to let us know and track the time and how long you ran and what your pace was, because we got to know you're actually following through, which is a core value here at this company.
So you know what? I'm going to the parents' crib because baby girl's out of town, so I'm going to the parents' crib.
Treadmill in the basement?
Well, they got one, but I'm gonna run outside.
Good for you.
When I was younger, I just got done with grad school. I used to track out exactly what a mile was, just running from the house
to
like.
Well, luckily there's technology because I wouldn't trust this mile.
Just put it in the phone. I'm not gonna do it all at once.
Sounds like if you need a spot to run, I can send you to the Princeton Club. I got a nice guest pass. They got great equipment. They got a sauna and a steam room. You can sweat it out after even more. Get all those toxins out because they have something for everyone. Madison locations, a New Berlin location. There's so much energy there. When you walk in, they say hello. How are you? How's it going? They make you feel comfortable. They make you feel happy. And again, when I think about the Princeton Club, did personal training, they got basketball courts, tennis courts, pools, like all the different locations have something for everyone. So just join the Princeton Club, get a tour. You'll have a strong body, a strong mind, and help provide a strong community. So go to the Princeton Club for a better tomorrow. Josh DiMaggio chimes in. What's the punishment for not doing the punishment? The miles will then double. It will become 7 miles if Kyle does not complete this Saturday.
So we just throwing rules.
No, he's completing by Saturday. We're putting him on a treadmill on Friday if it's not done by then.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's 3.5 miles. I mean, I can run 3.5 miles.
So do it.
Okay, oh
so
yeah,
it.
You really sound like it. 20 gates.
I'm out of shape. I need an inhaler or something.
All right, well, we'll get to Jason Wilde as the Packers take care of business on Sunday night. It is a victory Monday. Jason Wilde just got out of the Matt LaFleur presser. We'll hear from Jason. The biggest takeaways coming up next on Kyle Bruston-Nortman.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman.
I'm sorry that I don't want to touch Vince Peter.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm going to enunciate the way I normally would as a nerdy fellow that I am.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
You know, you should be confident. You should be feeling yourself.
Holding everybody accountable.
I'm not saying you should be necessarily mad at him, but he bears some responsibility.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Yeah, I don't want to do this for three more hours either, so we're good then.
Join Jason Wilde next summer and explore the British landscapes in England, Scotland, and Wales. Text travel to 800-990-3776 or visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for full details.
Tell me now, do you want it? Because these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm they cry for you. And every Saturday night that you ain't
live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel in the amazing sports book, it's Kyle Bruston Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Joining us now, after the Packers take care of business on Sunday Night Football, is Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason on Wilde and Tausch 9 to noon across these very stations and hear him on basically every show. Jason, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well. I know that you just got
doing
out of...
Doing well.
Oh, damn, I did do it, and I didn't even mean to do it. Doing well. Matt LaFleur speaking to the media. Anything stand out to you after the Packers have a iffy first half and then play flawlessly in the second half?
Floppy. We're about process, not results, and so sloppy, which I found odd. I thought that they looked pretty sharp in the second half. Maybe in the first half they were sloppy, but man, oh man, I thought they were cooking pretty good in the second half.
So you're saying he was sloppy throughout the whole game?
He said there was a lot of sloppiness. Which again, like, I don't know, you scored on five straight possessions in the second half. The only one they didn't score on, you knelt out the final seconds of the clock. So, hey, you got to be demanding. And, you know, again, now they've, won three in a row now. So you get to be a little bit demanding while still feeling really good about where your team is at and the fact that they're 5-1-1. So maybe that's just his philosophy, is get on them a little bit more, which is fine. But I'll be curious to see, you know, what kind of effort and what kind of performance they get this week, because Carolina's bad, and it's easy to get, you know, sloppy, to use his term, when you're playing a not very good team.
Well, did you know that there's a sloppy sitting next to me?
The two-fisted slopper from County Stadium? You guys are all too young to know who that is.
Kyle's nickname from his high school team, coaches, players, was Sloppy.
Yeah, Sloppy made a lot of plays. You want to know what's crazy about that? The dude that told his uncle that when we were at the restaurant, he don't like one of my damn posts. I wanted to say, bro, I don't like nothing on here. Spreading that stuff.
Well, your nickname was Sloppy.
It was Sloppy. True, though.
He didn't give the full story, but that's okay.
That's a terrible
nickname. Anywho, Jason, did Tucker Kraft cement himself as the number one pass catcher on this team? Argument closed after last night.
You'd be crazy not to, right? Isn't that what LaFleur's response was last night? I mean, yeah, he's really, really good. Now, I do want to caution that despite him being really, really good, you can't go to him 40 times in a game, obviously. And you could certainly design plays where he's the first option, and then if he's covered, then you go elsewhere in the progression. But yeah, he should be the guy. At the same time, I guess my question is, and you know, I know punters never really had to deal with this, but I still think, and maybe it's just me, you know, kind of thinking about how I've seen players who publicly would put on a good face and never complain and not do the Keyshawn Johnson, just give me the damn ball attitude. But I do wonder if there's guys that get frustrated even when they're winning, right? Like, you know, they've won three in a row now. They're in a great spot. But is it hard for guys that all have egos to look and, you know, if I'm Matthew Golden, who caught three passes on three targets for 4 yards, am I having a hard time with that? You know, I actually asked LaFleur about not Golden specifically, because I have no idea, you know, how he's feeling. But, you know, you get what? That's what somebody was saying to me. So, I wasn't asking specifically about him. I want a kind of a general answer, but that was kind of what made me curious, is that, you know, Jordan Love throws for 360 yards and Matthew Golden has 4 yards on three catches. Yeah, we won. Woohoo! But is it hard for, because we're all human, right? Right? Like, we all have egos. We all care about getting our opportunities. And so whether it's him or whether it, you know, another week it's Romeo Doubs, like what happened last year, or it's Christian Watson, or it's Tucker Kraft. I mean, look, there's no denying that when you get Tucker Kraft the ball, especially when you get it to him, and then he can do something with it after you get it to him, he's really freaking dangerous. I mean, he had 143 yards last night, and he had 131 after the catch. I mean, that's preposterous, the percentage nice. There.
Best tight end in Packers history, Jason.
Yeah, maybe. You know, you're a young fella, so I'm and you probably, I don't know if you were young, if you're old enough to have seen Chewy in his prime, but Chewy was a damn good tight end, and so was Paul Kaufman. But yeah, he's we're crowning guys again. That's what we do here.
Chewy ever have 100 yards after the catch in a game?
I don't know. I don't know if we kept track of those stats back then. But I feel very comfortable in saying no. Put it that way.
Jason, to answer your question before Kyle jumps in, it's an absolute yes. I mean, even if you're winning, guys do know that their window in the NFL is very, very short, and your window to be productive is very, very small. And if you're not producing, you know that's going to mean less money and less opportunity. So, and we know that because of maybe the alleged Jaden Reed wanting to be number one after they drafted Golden, Matthew Doubs going MIA, or Romeo Doubs going MIA last year. So, yeah, I mean, there's mm-hmm. just, of course, guys feel that way. And winning helps. But deep down, everybody wants the opportunity to shine.
Yeah, and again, I don't know. I have not talked to Matthew Golden. You know, a couple weeks ago, he said all the right things, and he had the big game where he was really productive, right? So, you know, it's going to go from week to week, but I think it has to start with Tucker Kraft. There's just no doubt about that.
Jason, Josh Jacobs struggles. Is it on his injury or is it the O-line that's the problem right now?
Yeah, I don't think it was blocked up very well. You know, that was kind of the conversation we had with Matt LaFleur, too. I mean, now, Emmanuel Wilson was productive. So, you know, somebody asked, I think it was Mike Spofford from Packers.com, do teams defend you differently when it's Josh Jacobs in the backfield versus when it's Emmanuel Wilson in the backfield? And LaFleur said he didn't think so. Look, he just had a 93-yard game, what, 2 weeks ago? He had 150 total yards from scrimmage. Obviously, last night was not productive. Dude scored, what, 9 touchdowns in 7 games? I don't think he's fallen off the planet, but he does need one of those games. Like, didn't Saquon Barkley have a big game yesterday statistically?
Yeah,
sure did.
Like,
he did, yep. Yes.
You know, I'm guessing he would just like to have one of those kind of moments where he has a really huge game running the football, and maybe that kind of loosens the cap on the pickle jar. But I don't think he's fallen off at all. You know, I do think he's one of the best running backs in the league, and I do think it's been just tough sledding. The first 3 to 4 weeks, it was 7-8 guys in the box. Instead of 6-7, and then going into halftime, but like Mike Tomlin flat out said, look, the number one thing we got to do is stop Josh Jacobs. He's the linchpin of their offense. So I just don't know if it's anything that he can be doing better, but I definitely think that the offensive line, even when they're outnumbered, has to give him more space to run.
Talking with Jason Wilde here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, is there anything you've seen from Jordan Love in his third year that stands out to you that's felt different from year one and year two?
I don't know. What prompts that question?
What prompts the question is I asked initially, are all of your doubts about Love eliminated? Because obviously he threw for 360, he's taking care of the football, he threw for 3 touchdowns. And then initially you hear, well, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is 31st in pass defense. And, you know, they haven't Matt LaFleur and Love haven't consistently put it together yet. So I think he's played well all year. And again, they may be one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, but a great quarterback would take advantage of that. And so I'm just intrigued by the people that are still waiting for more from Jordan Love. And I think he's shown this year more consistency than he has in any of the years prior.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, I would argue that there's still plenty more out there for him. But he was magnificent last night. I mean, he was phenomenal. So, the point that I have made, and I get people get frustrated with me when I say this, but to me, we've seen, like, really meaningful growth in the last three games. Because, like, people don't like it when I bring up the interception in Cleveland. They want to blame that on LaFleur for not running the ball. Or they don't like it when I bring up the check down to Emmanuel Wilson with the clock running and no timeouts at the end of overtime, and then them, you know, kind of dawdling before that final play, and they have 1 second left to kick the game-tying field goal. Like, those are mistakes by him, however you want to slice it. But what matters to me, and what matters to Matt LaFleur and Sean Mannion and Adam Stenovich and everybody else, is what did he do subsequent to that? And I talked about this morning on our show. So let's go through the past three games now since those two mistakes in clutch moments, right? Late in the game, really important not to make a mistake, and you could argue that those are mistakes. Well, let's look at the Cincinnati game. Enormous throw in a clutch situation on the run to hit Matthew Golden, right? He's running to his left, kind of torques his body a little bit, hits Golden. It's a huge throw, right? That's, to me, growth. Following week, facing fourth down after your coach wanted to kick the ball and tie the game, and you make the throw that you make to Tucker Kraft. A couple of plays later, Josh Jacobs is in the end zone, and you have the first lead you've had all game, right? Another enormous throw on fourth down. Yesterday, like, he made every throw. Like, you don't get 134 pass rating and three touchdowns by good fortune. Now, would I like to know how they view the two, and I didn't ask LaFleur this today, but so the throw to Tucker Kraft, is that a bad decision that works out? Is that something that LaFleur thinks is sloppy that worked out anyway? What about the throw to Watson? I think the Watson throw is a really, really, he's got a guy in his face. He makes a hell of a throw. It's just over the outstretched hand of the one defender who's jumping and falling backward. That one, I think, is good. The one that Tucker takes for 59, I'm not sure. That felt a little like winging a prayer-ish to me, but it works out. And to bring that pass up is not to diminish how magnificent he was last night. I'm just curious about that specific play. But I thought he was so, so good. And you can only play the team you're playing. And if they struggle to stop the passing game, what are you supposed to run the ball more so you can show that you – I mean, it's not like they're good against the run either. So I thought he was really, really, really good last night. And anybody that is reluctant to say that, you don't have to crown him. You don't have to say, oh, he's going to go win the MVP. You don't have to say that. But I don't know how you can say anything other than really good things about what he did last night.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time, and thanks for joining as early as you could so we could get the most insight from you, and we will talk to you on Thursday.
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. I want to go a little deeper into Kraft and Golden there because that's been a big topic of conversation, and if you did miss it, Matthew Golden did deactivate his Instagram account. I don't know if that's fantasy football managers in his direct messages getting at him for his lack of production. Why was that, Strofe?
Because he deactivated his Instagram.
Oh, got it.
But yeah, insight.
Do want to get to that coming up next, live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and the Amazing Sportsbook.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
What's going on, Ben? Come on.
It's getting tough. It's getting slow.
Ben, don't be pathetic. Your father's with your baby. They're listening. You gotta be better.
I'm giving it my all.
I don't know what you're at either. Stop humping the ground.
Yeah.
Get up.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman here with you as we are at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sports book. Strofe's running the show. Get us on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. You can follow us on Twitter, at KBNESPN. It's gotten closer and closer and closer as time has gone on. Have your doubts about Jordan Love been eliminated? 64% of people say yes. 36% of people say no.
Right side of history for that 64%.
I think there is 36% that probably just want to see... And it's unfair.
No, they want to be Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Like three. When you see 360, you're like, oh, he's got to do it again.
Have we been completely spoiled by Favre and Rodgers? It's the only thing I can think of. Yeah, it's like if that's the expectation, you'll probably be let down. But Love is an outstanding starting quarterback in the NFL. He can win you a Super Bowl.
They want him to play like a damn MVP caliber type guy every single week. Like, he's going to give you MVP moments. But, dude, he isn't like the best quarterback in the NFL. But right now, you are Green Bay Packers fans. You're getting top five NFL quarterback play right now. Like, that's what you're getting. You should be excited about that. There are teams that wish they even had a top 15 quarterback.
Like I started the show, the second segment, I just took a gander, and it was the poll of, did we draft the wrong guy after a loss to the Ravens after they won four games? The Bears are questioning Caleb Williams' development. Just like that.
Yeah, all you have to do is look at about 27 other franchises, and you'd say, I think we're pretty content with where we're at with the Packers.
I mean, pretty good guy by the name of Drake May in that same draft class.
Drake May, Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, but Jaden Daniels has been hurt and having that sophomore year of
slumpiness. But Drake May, on the other hand, MVP frontrunner, one would say.
Well, we'll get to those MVP odds, because it's going to be an interesting year, because it was Baker, now the Buccaneers kind of feel iffy, but as a Jordan Love on board, if you really, really believe in him and you think he's going to have a big game against the Eagles and the Lions, now's your time to do so. We'll get to that in a little bit. You got Jim, Matt, and Molly up next in Madison, the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam, and we are right here.
Big announcement coming on the Dam Sports Show.
On the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. We're next on 94.5 ESPN and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. It's Kyle Bruss and Ortman.